Forgers and Artists, True Stories. Narrated by Paul Spera. Rudy Kernyawan, the FBI and the Wine Forger. Of Rudy's childhood, we know absolutely nothing, except that he was born in Jakarta in 1976 under the name Zhen Wang Huang. At the age of 24, he shows up at a store in California called Cellar Door Fine Wines with a bottle of wine in his hand, a 1998 Cabernet. He explains to Kyle Smith, the co-founder of the store, that it is not to his taste and he wants to sell it. From there, a friendship built around the love of wine is born. Paul Wasserman, who also works in the store, spent his childhood near Dijon and is a fine connoisseur. He joins the duo for hours of discussion and teaching. Kernyawan makes him his mentor. He learns very quickly and memorizes all the wines presented to him. He is what is called a super tester. His senses of taste and smell are developed in an extremely rare way. The young Rudy starts to learn about the price of great wines. He understands that the new trend in the United States can be lucrative, especially since the industry is still underdeveloped. In 2001, during an evening of tasting at Il Grano restaurant in Los Angeles, he joins the very closed circle of connoisseurs gathered to test Burgundies. They call themselves the Burgundy Bitches. Kernyawan is almost untouchable in blind tastings. He becomes aware of his special gift. Perfectionist and demanding, he continues his training with Wasserman. Little by little, he builds up a stock and stores it in his villa in Arcadia, a suburb of Los Angeles. According to his friend, Kyle Smith, Rudy was buying about $500,000 worth of wine a year. This is strange given his young age and lack of employment. He is said to be the heir to a wealthy Indonesian brewing family. Rudy is very popular in auctions where he's becoming a fixture. Prices can climb to tens of thousands of dollars for a bottle. By 2003, he's considered one of the top five wine experts, collectors, and dealers of rare and prestigious wines. He accumulates 50,000 bottles in his magic cellar. Rudy meets John Capon, an equally young auctioneer from Acker Morrell and Condit Company. The two of them have a symbiotic relationship and they quickly develop a strong friendship. Rudy has started out in the California wine business, but he feels he has to leave for Manhattan, where the sales are best. The market is booming and goes from $90 million in 2000 to $300 million in 2007. Kernyawan moves to New York in the winter of 2003. Tasting clubs form that allow the presentation of great wines at the tables of New York restaurants. Rudy, with the help of John Capon, joins the tasting club whose members are the wealthiest in the city, the 12 Angry Men, like the Sidney Lumet film. It's here that Rudy adopts the nickname of Dr. Conti, in reference to La Romanée Conti, an extremely rare, famous, and expensive wine, his favorite. Dr. Conti copies the customs of the group to blend in with the milieu, to the point of changing his appearance. He has the ability to detect the way people act in order to make friends. Like a chameleon, he gains confidence and becomes a billionaire, like those he meets. He drives a Lexus or a Maserati, wears Hermes suits and a Patek Philippe watch. Rudy becomes more and more arrogant, and eventually is elected head of the Club of 12, bringing more and more rare bottles and gaining not only the trust but also the respect of the other ultra-rich members. Kernyawan develops a habit that, in hindsight, might have rung some alarm bells. He asks to have the bottles he drinks at parties sent back to his villa in Arcadia, California. He demands that they be impeccably cleaned and left in perfect condition. He is extremely insistent on this point. Kyle will witness and fall victim to Rudy's anger when he cannot get the bottles. These bottles are, in fact, essential to his business. He has set up a craft workshop in his home where he makes fine wines. He will be so good in this field that only one man in the world is able to detect his manipulations and prove them. That man is Michael Egan, a wine expert who specializes in fraud. On the surface, Kernyawan's method is quite simple. After collecting the empty bottles, he fills them with a clever mixture of several wines. He tests his mixtures and manages to reproduce the great wines thanks to his incredible olfactory and gustatory memory. He recreates, for example, a Romane Conti from several California Pinot Noirs. Once the bottles are full, he attaches the label. A photocopier, retouching software, and his perfectionism are the only tools he needs. He puts the labels in the oven or pours liquid on them to age them. Finally, Rudy corks and uncorks his bottles with a blade corkscrew. This allows him to never puncture the cork. The wax finish makes the illusion perfect. Kernyawan tests his creations at parties with the 12 angry men. In early 2006, he organizes two auctions, 6 months apart, through his auctioneer friend John Capon. He names them The Cellar and The Cellar 2. All the big names in wine are invited. Collectors, critics, merchants. More than 12,000 bottles, each one rarer than the next, are on offer. Among them, great vintages that should no longer exist and for which he has 10 copies. The experts should have seen the scam coming, but they're too happy with the bargain. These two auctions represent more than $35 million in sales, an absolute record in the wine world. Of course, most of the beverages are fakes. Suspicions begin to arise when some of the bottles are opened and do not live up to the expectations of the buyers. At a party, some of the experts, including Douglas Barzelay, decide to test 11 of the Roumier wines purchased during the sale. 6 of them are fake. How many others out of the 12,000? And yet, no complaint is filed, and Rudy continues his business. Another sale is announced on April 25, 2008, with several lots from the Magic Cellar. Too sure of himself, Kernyawan makes a mistake that arouses Douglas Barzelay's suspicions. Some very old bottles from the Ponceau estate are put up for auction, particularly a Clos Saint-Denis from the 1940s and 50s. At first impressed, Barzelay then wonders, how long has the domain been producing wine? He contacts his friend and the current owner, Laurent Ponceau, who is very surprised by the question. The Clos Saint-Denis appellation wasn't created until 1982. Those bottles can only be fake. Laurent Ponceau calls John Capon. The auctioneer, faced with Ponceau's insistence, pays lip service to removing the wines from the sale. Ponceau doesn't believe him and decides to go to the auction house to see for himself. There, he discovers the catalog, which offers 97 bottles from his estate. After reading and studying it thoroughly, he detects only one authentic bottle, a Clos de la Roche from 1978. Having been alerted to Ponceau's presence in the room, Capon publicly announces that, at the request of Domaine Ponceau and with the owner's agreement, all Ponceau wines will be removed. Curious, Laurent Ponceau wants to meet Kernyawan. A meeting is organized between them, as well as Barzelay and Capon. Unconvinced by Rudy's evasive attitude, Ponceau wants to find out what he's hiding, and he starts to search. He uncovers big orders for antique paper labels placed by Rudy with a Japanese printer. For 2 years, Ponceau scours the planet, an amateur private eye, following the clues to trace Rudy's modus operandi. As for Kernyawan, burned after the last aborted auction, he can no longer sell bottles under his own name. He adopts a new identity, Antonio Castanos. The FBI, however, is alerted by the American billionaire Bill Koch, who files a complaint in December 2009. Special Agent Wine, that's his real name, begins his own investigation. Rudy's bank accounts are scrutinized. Agent Wine contacts Ponceau, who provides him with his expertise and the results of his 2 years of research. Added to the elements in possession of the FBI, the puzzle falls into place starting in 2010. Joseph Facciponti is the prosecutor in charge of the case. By March 2012, the FBI's case is strong enough. They're about to arrest Rudy. Kyle Smith, having been questioned at length, warns Rudy, but he doesn't believe it. 2 days later, on March 8th, the search of the Kernowan Villa is ordered at 6 a.m. Rudy opens the door and offers no resistance. The evidence is overwhelming. The kitchen is a fraud laboratory. Boxes of wine are piled up in every room. Rudy becomes mute. He's taken to a detention center and kept in custody. Michael Egan is called in to examine the bottles and labels seized. Everything is studied in detail, and at the end of 2013, the case is finally ready. The trial of the United States against Kernowan begins on December 9, 2013. Rudy has already spent 20 months in jail. He appears calm, he's always silent, famished, but shows no remorse and seems not to understand what has befallen him. He's in a state of deep denial. He pleads not guilty, but under the accumulation of evidence, his defense is extremely complicated. To justify the 19,000 fake labels found, his lawyer, Jerome Mooney, claims they were intended to be used as a mosaic tapestry for Rudy's bedroom, a fan of this vintage. The audience is very amused. Christophe Roumier testifies that bottles were sold under the name Bonne Mare 1923, even though this estate was only bought by his grandfather in 1952. Kernowan will be sentenced alone to 10 years in prison on August 8, 2014, and $28.5 million in fines. But did he have help? Did he have accomplices? And where did this man come from? Many have theories. No one has an answer. Did you like this episode? Feel free to comment, share, and rate it. See you soon for new stories. Midnight Studio, addictive podcast creator.